Well, Paul Siegert is a gentleman who is a managing partner at PCS Advisors. He consults firms, a lot of people that are his clients. And one of the things that he's seeing, and I think that we're all seeing around the country, and I'm afraid we're going to see it even more, is with some of the changes of the ways that we treat those regarding COVID and vaccinations or non-vaccinations, some people this week are starting to lose their jobs over it. And all of us will suffer because hospitals already stressed to the very nth degree, and now they're going to be doing it with less staff. He's on the line right now. Paul, good afternoon to you, sir. Welcome to the Pat Miller Program.
Thanks for having me.
You know, the health insurance industry and the health care industry really stressed out and stretched to the limits. We've had nurses who have had to work incredible double shifts and everything else to cover for others. And plus, also, Paul, and you know this because you do a lot of work with a lot of health firms, hospitals, and others. These people are stressed partially because they've worked very long and very hard hours, and yet they still have to stand there sometimes and watch their COVID clients pass away right in front of them. There's a lot of stress in healthcare right now.
There is, and it was already in a tough position before the pandemic. They were dealing with shortages, especially of their skilled staff, nurses, most acutely. And it hits the rural areas more. And then now with this mandate and mandates that were already going into effect, we're seeing that some of these hospitals are having to pare down some of their services, shutting some departments down altogether.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly right. You know, when I saw some numbers, like United Airlines said that they're going to let go 593 employees in the next few days. According to the Washington Post, there's a hospital system in North Carolina that roughly 175 unvaccinated employees were fired. UNC Health, also in North Carolina, confirming the status of about 900 employees. About 70 employees left on their own because of the mandate, and the group has granted about 1,250 exemptions for medical or religious reasons. And then there's some fighting in some areas, Paul, whether a religious or political reason is enough of a reason not to follow the mandate.
Well, that's really, to me, one of the most interesting parts of the announcement today from United is that not only are they laying off or firing, rather, the 593, their intention was to put on unpaid leave, so a de facto firing, of 2,000 more that they did grant exceptions to based on, those were the religious exemptions. So they allowed a religious exemption, but essentially didn't, because those people were slated to get put on unpaid leave as of tomorrow, and then they're going to be, or sorry, Friday. But that's in the courts now. That's an ongoing lawsuit that's been pushed to the 15th of October. So we're in some very interesting times. We're going to see this play out, and a lot is going to be learned here in the next 30, 60, 90 days.
You know, there's so much that still, I mean, we are now, 18, 19 months into trying to understand COVID as it is, and then trying to understand whether we've been dealing with it correctly or not dealing with it correctly. The arguments over vaccinations are still as volatile as they were back at the very start. My personal feeling, I'm vaccinated. I've got a compromised immune system, and I'm over age 65. So I'm vaccinated. In fact, I get my booster tomorrow, and it works for me. It works for my family. I have a lot of friends vaccinated. I have a lot of friends not vaccinated. I have people in this building not vaccinated. And it doesn't freak me out, because if the vaccine does everything it's supposed to do, my vaccine will protect me from them. The only thing it won't do is it won't protect the unvaccinated from the unvaccinated. So I don't understand why it is that we're just beating people up because they have reasons to not want to get the vaccine. I've got to believe that if they thought it was right for them, they'd have it done.
Yeah, we're down to about 28% of the population that are so strong in their belief and their decision not to get vaccinated that they say, when polled, they're willing to lose their job over it. And it's still surprising to me, or really amazing, that we're having this very active and oftentimes heated conversation about vaccination status, and we continue to ignore the reality of natural immunity, which, when we talk to healthcare executives, some of them were already starting to add that in as an exception or an exemption in their policies, that if you had natural immunity and you could show it through antibodies, Kettering Health in Ohio is a good example of this, their policy allowed for that to be an exemption. You just had to submit proof of your antibody test every 90 days, and if it did fall off or your immunity waned, then you would be subject to getting a vaccine.
Yeah.
Which seemed like a very common sense approach, and it was, I think, starting to get some traction around the country, and then we had the top-down national mandate get announced, and I think we've lost some positive discussion as a result.
Yeah, no, I think you're correct. Let me ask you this, because everybody tries to point their finger at the big boys, the CEO of Delta or the president of a hospital, but these people are under an unusual pressure too. I mean, this is a pressure that none of them a year and a half ago thought that they would ever have to face, because even the government to some extent is threatening these people. You know, well, we'll just have it to where you can't fly into certain airports. We will have it to where you can no longer get federal funds to help with certain kinds of health clients if you're not properly vaccinated. Well, if we keep doing that, you've got the federal government deciding who the winners and the losers are in healthcare.
Well, we've been seeing that all along with the shutdown. That definitely did not affect all players in the economy equally. Larger players actually benefited, while smaller players, many went out of business. And it's really a wild time that we're in. I think for some of these CEOs, they have welcomed the national mandate because it kind of takes the pressure off them in a way to be able to say, hey, look, we're being forced to do this. And then there's all kinds of interesting sub-conversations around that. Some of these employers are looking at the remote worker as someone who is exempt from the mandate because they won't be on site around other employees. That's kind of employer by employer right now as we're continuing to see this get interpreted. But there's going to be a lot of different outcomes. And it'll continue to, unfortunately, impact smaller players more than larger players. Those, like I mentioned earlier, those rural health systems.
Yeah.
There's hospitals that have shut down labor and delivery, hospitals that have shut down elective surgeries. So we're continuing to disproportionately negatively affect smaller players, whether it's healthcare providers, rural areas, small businesses, and so on.
And a lot of times the smaller ones can't insulate themselves with the higher level of client and attorney privilege, and in fact even affording a bevy of attorneys to go fight for them. A lot of them barely do what they can do just to stay open and just to stay busy and just to pay their staff.
Well, exactly. And look at the cost that's going to be added to manage this program, and then just the cost of testing. If you're going to allow weekly testing as an alternative to vaccination as part of your mandate, who's going to pay for that?
Right. No, you're exactly right. Paul, let me ask you this. You'd mentioned we're somewhere around 26-27% that are still unvaccinated. Is that our number?
Yeah, 28 is what I'm kind of going by, but it's somewhere around there.
Okay. What number do we hit before this ceases to be this large a problem? I mean, do we have to get down to 10%? I mean, in your mind, and I know there's no magic number here, but where do we get to where this issue is no longer an issue?
That depends how we measure it. If we were actually factoring in natural immunity like they have in other peer countries of ours, in the UK, they've gone out and randomly blood tested their population to get a better read on what their herd immunity status really looks like. And that allows them to collectively see what percentage of our population has protection, whether it be through natural infection and recovery or vaccination. And when they were at a similar place as we are today in terms of vaccination, they were actually at a 90% protection in their herd immunity tracking because they accounted for natural immunity. So it's high time for us to account for that in our calculations.
Well, I appreciate very much your time today. This continues to be, this is almost like an amoeba, you know, about the time you think you've shut off the approachment of the amoeba to one side, it squishes out the other side. And now we're fighting in areas that we never thought we would fight. I really need these people to chill and to watch themselves. And I'll be honest with you, Paul, here's my big argument, okay? I am still to the point, I don't understand why the vaccinated are screaming at such a high level to the unvaccinated. Because if the unvaccinated are unvaccinated because they have a natural immunity, and we've heard from a lot of places natural immunity is probably even stronger than vaccination, if we have some people that have a true religious reason for not wanting to do it, You know, there's some people that it's just not going to fit for them. But at the end of the day, I'm vaccinated. I shouldn't have to worry about the unvaccinated, should I? The only people, I mean, you're going to have an occasional breakthrough, but the only people that they could really hurt are the rest of the unvaccinated.
Well, that's true. And if you take everything into account that we've learned so far and that gets talked about in the mainstream conversation, those that are hospitalized and those that are dying from COVID today are almost exclusively unvaccinated. So there really isn't any empirical evidence that would say you should be scared of those that are unvaccinated if you are vaccinated. So it's become a lot more divisive than it needs to be.
Right. Well, listen. Yeah, listen, Paul, listen, thank you so very much for your time today. Paul Siegert is he's a managing partner at PCS Advisors, and it's nice to have, Paul, rational conversation with somebody about COVID and about vaccines. That doesn't always happen. But I appreciate very much your time today, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Podcasts by Federated Media.